If you would please open your Bibles at Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, we will start reading at verse 1. And if you would stand, this is God's word, God speaking to us. Genesis 12, starting at verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So far our scripture reading. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters, now Lord Jesus Christ, we have seen before how Abram and his family found themselves in a hopeless situation. They may not have realized it, but they were hopeless because they were idolaters. They were idol worshippers in Mesopotamia, worshiping the moon god Sin, called Sin. One of Abram's brothers died, leaving orphans, while Abram was married to a wife who could not have a child. God called him to leave his country for a land that God would tell him later. He didn't know where he was going. And Abram, his wife, his father, Lot, the orphan child, left their home country. And Terah, Abram's father, was the leader of the group, but they stopped short of where they were supposed to go, to the promised land, Canaan. They stopped at Haran, and they settled there. And so they moved from one moon god city center to another, because this is what they worshipped at Haran. They worshipped the moon god Sin. And so they just continued with their idol worship. It was after Terah died that it seems that God calls Abram a second time and say, "You need to go to where I call you." And then Abram left on this journey. This bright hope of God's call comes to Abram against the backdrop of the darkness of paganism, infertility, and death. This bright hope of God comes with seven "I will" statements you will see in these three verses. God gives Abram, the idol worshiper, seven wonderful promises of magnificent blessings. These seven promises could be divided into four groups of promises. A promise of a place to worship. A promise of a great people. A great descendants that will be after him. God promised to provide to Abram, and God promised to him that he will protect him. These are the wonderful promises. However, Abram would never fully experience the fulfillment of these promises. This will come much later, many of them even 1,000 years later. The ultimate fulfillment comes through the offspring. The ultimate fulfillment would first come in the believing Israel, and then later the fulfillment come in the church, in us, as we will see later. These seven expressions of blessings come to Abram. And the number seven always in the Bible has the expression of fullness and holiness. And so it comes as the perfect expression of what God gives. Everything is coming from God. God is providing everything Himself. God gives it to Abram and to his descendants and to the church. The same God who spoke the universe into existence, this sovereign, holy, majestic God now calls Abram. He appears to Abram to move to a certain place that he will show him where to go. And so we see in verse 1, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." God promises Abram a place. Abram will receive a new land for the new people. And so when God asks someone to leave something, we see here, and that's also our experience, isn't it, that He provides. God asks you to leave something, but in the place He gives so much better. And if we're commanded to give up things, He provides much more than what we leave behind. The belief that Christianity is such a losing faith, that you have to give up the world, you have to give up all the fun, is just not true. What do we receive in place of giving up the world and in place of giving up all our worldliness and worldly friends? Well, we receive brothers and sisters in place of the worldly. We receive the riches of His kingdom. We receive His guidance, His protection. We receive the Holy Spirit Himself guiding us, teaching us. We receive so much more. And so Abram was called to give up his pagan city, Ur. Later to give up also the next city where his dad stopped, Haran. But he will gain a new land. He will become the father of a great nation and so much more. And so this promise was not really fulfilled until the kingship of David and Solomon. It was then that Abram's offspring received that promised land and trust in the Lord. Abram lived always as a sojourner, but his descendants enjoyed the promised land as God promised to Abram. But Abram was content. Abram was not longing for a house and a palace. He was longing for something much different. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read here in the chapter of the champions and the heroes of faith. In chapter 11, verse 10, it speaks of Abram. It says, "For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." Abram was a sojourner. He was moving around in this land, this promised land, Canaan, that God gave to him. But his focus was that city that God is building, that is still to come. Oh, how this is not ministering to our souls, isn't it? God did give us a land to dwell in. Acts chapter 17, I believe it's verse 26, speaks of how God gave the borders, and he gave a land for people to live in appointed times. So we received our land. We live in a wonderful, great country that God gave, but even better, God also promised to us the same promise that Abram had, that we look forward in our faith, a much better place than what we have here. Abram was looking forward to that city that God built, that city with foundations that God was the architect of. And Hebrews chapter 12 speaks of this. We see there that God gives us, the children of Abram, that city. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 at verse 22. It says, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels and festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." See, this is what is the promise for us as the children of God, the children of Christ, but also the children of Abram. A heavenly Jerusalem. The angels and our God and our Lord Himself, we assemble with Him. This is what we're looking forward to. This is the same place that Abram, as he was sojourning there in that land that God promised, his focus was on that city where God was the architect. Is that not the place that we're longing to? Even though we are sojourning here on earth, this is the place that God provided for us to spend eternity. That's where our focus is. Not on the things here below. That's not what we live for, but we live for our Lord, that city that the Lord is the architect. So the city God promises that would be ours is the same city that He promised to Abram. And we need to ask ourselves, is that truly where your longing is? Is that where your focus is? Just this couple of days ago, Pastor Peter and I had the privilege to have lunch with a number of Reformed pastors in our area, and the one man who lost his wife not long ago, dear woman, was just testifying as he is mourning the death of his wife, how the Lord is ministering to him and the blessings he received, but also how more so now he is longing to that city, longing to that place. You see, that's what all of us should have, that longing for the city one day where we're going to enter into the presence of the Lord, that city that the Lord has been the architect. He has been the one that built it. And we will be in His presence. If you have not come to that place yet, if you're not longing yet for that home, then you need to run deeper into Christ, for this world has become too important to you. Then this world has become too much of your home. We need to go to Christ, and not only will He give our souls rest, but He provides that promised land. He provides that eternal city. So first, God promises Abram a place. And second, we see here in verse 2, He promises him a people. Look at verse 2. "And I will make for you a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing." The promise of a people, the promise of a great nation, is fulfilled both in one person as well as collectively in a group of people. This promise is fulfilled in a descendant of Abram, the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also fulfilled partly in Israel and also in the church as the children of Abram. God promised a great nation, a great people for Abram. This was a promise to a man that we need to remember, married to a woman who could not have children. She was barren. There was no children, no children on the horizon. This was a test of faith. This was Abram's struggle, but we see once he truly trusted God and put the consequences of his obedience completely in God's hands, he was then even willing to take that son that God gave him and sacrifice him. You remember that whole event, right? At first, it was a promise that looked like this is not going to happen. But then once he trusted God and let God do the work, let God do the rest, when that son came and God said, sacrifice him, he was willing to sacrifice him. He knew God will make good of his promises. You would remember both the elderly Abram and Sarah laughed at this promise of a son. We will see it later as we go through this book. Because it was so unlikely, how would they have a son? They were old. And they couldn't even have children when they were young. But God gave them Isaac. This was very unlikely for them to have a child. But they had Isaac. And in his infinite sovereign grace, God gave Abram, Sarah, a son. God's promise of making him a great nation would come true. No matter their own inabilities, they will have an offspring. Because God promised. Doesn't matter what their inabilities and their shortcomings are, that promise will come true. Now remember when this book was written. It was written as Moses trekked with Israel through the desert. Just think about the Israelites here in the desert on their way where? Do you remember? On their way to the promised land that God promised Abram. Here they are in the desert on their way to this promised land and they read these words about Abram. What a great encouragement that was to Israel. They were trekking through this deserted land and they were made known again this promise to Abram. By now they were more than 1 million people trekking through the land to what God promised them to their father. God told Abram, this is your promised land. This is where your children will live. This is yours. Now they are trekking to claim that. Now they are going to receive what was promised to Abram. James Montgomery Boyce in his commentary said the following, and I want to quote it. He said, the greatness of Israel was spiritual greatness. And that by definition was by the Spirit of God and not by human achievement. They were great because God set His love on them, blessed them spiritually, and above all, through them sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the world's Savior. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. And here we see the spiritual, as Montgomery Boyce speaks about it, the spiritual blessing that was placed on Abram and his descendants. Galatians chapter 3, turn with me to verse 27. Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are in Christ's, then you are Abram's offspring, heirs according to the promise." Wow. Here you and I sit. And we sit under the gospel, we hear the preaching of His word, and we hear we are the heirs of the promises made to Abram. We are the children of Abram. If you belong to Christ, you are Abram's offspring according to the promise. You see, every time a new believer joined the church, God's promise to Abram to make him a great nation is moving closer to the ultimate fulfillment. Every soul that hears the gospel and comes to Christ is part of the fulfillment of what God promised to Abram. The Hebrew word for nation, if we go back to Genesis, the Hebrew word for nation that is used here in our text is goy. The word is often used in the Old Testament, and it refers mostly in the Old Testament to Gentiles. The single form of goy is Gentile nation is goy, and the plural is goyim. And so, what God says to Abram is, his descendants will be a great goy. There will be a great goy among the goyim, among the many Gentile nations. And so he is speaking here of a great number of people. We have seen how this promise is being fulfilled in our own church. But we've seen it also how this promise is being fulfilled in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ across the world. And we need to rejoice in every soul that comes to Christ, wherever he is in the church, the true church of Christ. God still today remembers his promises to Abram, and God is still fulfilling these promises that we're looking at here in Genesis chapter 12. You see, brothers and sisters, here was an old man married to a woman who could not have children, and yet God made this wonderful promise. It did not seem probable. It did not seem likely that this would become true. Yet, God fulfilled that promise. We should not put our faith in that which seems likely. We have a tendency today to say, if something doesn't seem likely, I'm not going to believe it. Prove it to me. No, place your faith in that which God promised, even if it seems very unlikely. Think for a moment about the disciples receiving the Great Commission. Just look quickly at Matthew chapter 28. And please bear with me here. I have a different Bible that I'm using today. My Bible is falling apart. And it's just harder to find the books in a different Bible. This thing is so much thicker. Here it is. Matthew chapter 28. Look there at verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Think about what the disciples heard here. 11 men. And then some other disciples too. But Jesus speak to these few. And he says, go take my gospel to all the nations of the world. Imagine here, sit 11 people. And I say, take this gospel. Take it to the rest of the world. It's just overwhelming, isn't it? It's unlikely. How will we do it? How will we do it? Just a few disciples receive this task of going out in the world, an overwhelming task. Why would they even start? Isn't it so? That's what we do. When something looks unlikely and overwhelming, you just don't even try. You give up before you try. Why would they start? Well, inspired by the Holy Spirit, they took this task serious because they believed God. They believed Jesus. And therefore, they discipled one person at a time, one soul at a time, so that today, there's Christians about in every nation in the world. I see this distrust in unlikely results often in the counseling room. And I can give you an example. A couple would sit there and they just pull out their hair with their children. They just go all different directions. There's no discipline. There's chaos in the house. And I would take them to the scripture and I would go to Proverbs 23, reading verse 13 and 14 that tells us, discipline your children, use the rod, and you would save his soul. Or maybe Proverbs 13:24. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines his diligent. And they say, well, this can't be. I will just make him more aggressive. They will even become more aggressive than what they are. And my response is just believe God. Just do what he says and believe him. Believe what he promises he will do. He says, I will save their souls. You see, there's no trust. And there's so many other examples. But there's no trust in the word of the Lord. For they would rather believe the world. And the world says, no, you're going to harm them. You see, to follow God takes faith. To obey God takes faith. And you believe that which seems even unlikely. But you believe, and therefore we know God will his promises will come true. You have to trust him in his promises, even that which seems from your point of view unlikely. And see what great things he would do. See what great things he would do in your life. We have looked at God's promises of a place and of people. Let us now look at God's promise here in Genesis chapter 12 of providing to Abram. There, still in verse 2, he says, "And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." God is assuring Abram here he will leave everything he has and he has that he knows, but God will provide in abundant blessings. He will provide much more than what he's leaving behind. In the next chapter, we will read how Abram became very rich. This does not promise material blessings to God's children. It's not wealth because you believe, but it does promise that God will provide. God will always provide to his children. God promises spiritual prosperity so that we would be sanctified and be useful in his kingdom work. And God says in Romans 8:28 that for those who love God, all things will work together for their good. And their ultimate good is their salvation. Everything happens for our spiritual good, even the hardships, so that we can be used more powerful in his kingdom. You would remember the Tower of Babel and their builders. They wanted a great name. Remember, they wanted to make name for themselves. Well, God promises here to Abram a great name. And later, he heard from God that even kings will come from his line, from his family. And we know that the great king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has been born from the bloodline of Abram. In the ancient East, a name was not simply a label, but it was really a revelation of the character of the person. So when God promises a great name to Abram, he's not only promising fame, but he's promising that the society will see him as a man of superior character. He will be seen as a man of superior character. One of the commentators I read reminded me of a piece of history that I remember very well. I wasn't there that time, but I read about it. A commentator spoke about the Scotchman, Eric Liddell. To some of you, the name will ring a bell. Liddell was a sprinter, ran the 100 meter, and he was an Englishman, and he went to the Olympic Games of 1924, hoping to win the gold in the 100 meter. And when he came to the games that year, the games were in Paris. And when he came to the games, the 100 meter event was to be competed on the Sunday. And Liddell believed God when God said, keep the Sabbath day holy. And he said, I wouldn't run on that race. And so first he tried to he asked that they would move it to a different day, and they would not. This man was sweating blood for a long time. It takes a long time to get to that level, to compete on that level. A lot of sweat, a lot of preparation, a lot of pain, a lot of sacrifices. But he said, I will give up this dream. I'm not going to run. I give up the possibility of winning the gold medal. And so he asked to be enrolled in the 400 meters. He was not a 400 meter athlete. He was a sprinter. But he enrolled in the 400 meters and they allowed him. Very unlikely to win. And what I read is apparently an American athlete gave him a note on paper just before he ran the race for the 400 meter, quoting 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, which said, those who honor me, I will honor. Liddell won the gold in the 400 meter, and he broke the record that stood for 12 years. The rest of the story, this is not where it ends. Eric Liddell became a missionary to China, and he served there for 18 years. And then during World War II, he was thrown into a Japanese internment camp where he was just a source of great encouragement, just presenting the gospel to the people who suffered in hunger and pain with him, horrific conditions. And he died there in 1945. He did not seek fame for his own name. Yet God made his name great. We still talk about him. Two movies were made about him. In 1981, the first one, The Chariots of Fire, was released. And then in 2016, I encourage you to watch those movies. On the Wings of Eagles was released about his life as a missionary. He was seeking the kingdom of God first. As our Lord tells us in Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God first, and I will give you everything else. It's about him. And God, as he was seeking to make God's name great, God made his name great. We see here, that's what God is promising to Abram. That I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. God did make Abram's name great. One of his descendants, as I said, is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The name above every name. The name in front of whose every person will bow the knee. A great name God did give to Abram. And so let me ask you, my brother and sister, are you seeking to make a name for yourself? Especially the children, the teenagers. I remember as a teenager, I had that dream to make this great name for myself as an athlete. Is that what you're seeking? Are you seeking glory? And are you seeking recognition for what you do, for the things that you accomplish? Do you want people to see it? Do you want people to praise you for it? You maybe want to be acknowledged for how hard you are working, even in the church. How much you are doing in the church. My brother and sister, rather seek the glory of God. Silently, behind the scenes, serve him. Seek his kingdom. Seek to make his name great. And he will bless you richly. Lastly, God promised protection. If you want to look here in verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The nations of the earth will be blessed through Abram. Abram will mediate God's blessings to others. And those who bless Abram, they will be blessed. The New American Standard Version that I used when I wrote this sermon says, those who curse you, I will curse. And two different words are used here for the people cursing and God cursing. Those who curse could be better translated as revile. Those who revile you. The ESV says those who dishonors you. They will be cursed by God. But the word used for God cursing has the meaning of binding under a curse. They will be bound under a curse. In other words, there will be a heightened and a disproportionate punishment for despising Abram. And Abram saw that in his life. We're going to get there pretty soon. Israel saw the blessings of that promise in Israel. How many nations were completely demolished? Because They were the enemies of God and Israel. And we see it in the church, don't we? Just look at countries like Russia and China and the Middle East, where they despise Christianity. Look at the state there. Those who fight the church will not do well. God will stand with His promise of protection to Abram. We still receive the blessings from that promise. And you would remember that Jesus even repeated that promise when Peter made that powerful profession of faith. In Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, "Upon this rock, upon this profession, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it." God said all the families of the earth will be blessed through Abram. It was only with Christ that this fulfillment came, and the blessing went out to all the earth. And Paul, again, if you want to go back to Galatians chapter 3, Paul, again, explains the fulfillment of this promise there in chapter 3 in verse 8. Galatians 3, verse 8. "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abram, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.' So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abram, the man of faith." And so here Paul brings it again to the church, the Galatian church. He says, remember this promise that we're looking at today. This promise to Abram. This is your blessing. This is your protection. You see, the gospel that was announced to Abram and that was fulfilled in Christ is now my and your responsibility to proclaim to all people. It is in Christ that all people will be blessed. Christ has sent out the people. He sent us as His disciples in the Great Commission to bring the blessing to those around us. He said, make disciples of all nations. Is that what you're busy doing? Or are you waiting for the pastor and the elders, and the evangelists to do that? But brother and sister, this is our business. We received this promise. We received the blessing of protection, but also the charge to go out and make disciples. This is our work. Are you giving the time and the energy and the effort to proclaim Christ around you? Are you looking in all circumstances where you are in businesses and at work and at home? Are you looking for opportunities how to bring Christ to those around you so that the blessing of Christ can come to them? It is through disciple making that this promise to Abram is coming to all nations. If you and I just sit back and roll our thumbs and enjoy this blessing, the blessing is not going to go to the nations around us. This is us. It's you and I that need to do it. This is our work. And that protection promised to Abram is also repeated to us in Christ, as we've seen there in the Great Commission, that He said, all authority, every soul, every circumstance, everything that happens is placed under me. I have authority over them. I have authority over their souls. Go and do it. In our language today, Jesus says, go take the gospel. I got you back. I'm there for you. I'm protecting you. I will be there to open doors. I will be there to protect you. I have authority. I am in sovereign control over every person and circumstance. In other words, we as Christians receive the same promise of protection and blessing that God gave here to Abram. We know the rest of Genesis shows us that Abram displays the same sins, the same weaknesses that you and I have. We will see it as we go through Genesis. At times he doubted God. There were times where he deceived kings, lied about his wife. We see the same weaknesses in us. Abram was not a sinless man. Do not think that he was a super human being. But what makes Abram such a great man is that God was faithful to him in his covenant. And God is faithful to us too. God is faithful in his covenant with us. When Abram wavered, God repeated his covenant. When Abram became weak, God made him strength, gave him strength. You see, when God tells his servant, "I will," God will do it. Then he do it. We can trust him. He tells us, he gives us many promises where he says, "I will." We know that God never changes. He's the never-changing God. So my brother and sister, trust our God. Trust his word. The true God of heaven, who cannot lie, makes these wonderful promises in his word. When you're down, when you have troubles, when you are struggling, go to his word. Look at these promises. Look at these wonderful promises. He's faithful and he will never leave us. Let's walk with him while we're looking forward to dwell with him in the eternal city of God, whose architect and whose builder is God himself. Let us follow him and never leave him while we long for that day that we will enter that eternal city. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank you for your faithfulness, for you cannot lie. You never turn away from that which you have promised. Lord, you have promised so many wonderful things. As we receive the command to go out into the world, as we receive that charge to take your gospel and make disciples, Lord, we know we're not alone. You're always with us. You never leave us to ourselves. You will always provide to us. You will always protect us. And so we pray, Lord, that each one of us will hold fast to your promises. We will hold tight. And that we will have a close walk with you. We pray, Lord, work in our hearts that we will grow in maturity. Give us boldness. Give us courage to take your wonderful gospel of grace to people around us. Lord, show us the opportunities so that we will use it to bring your truth to the people around us. And so we ask, Lord, that you will use us to be a blessing to those around us. It is in Jesus' holy name we do pray. Amen. If you would, please open your hymnals. Open